Thank you, Aaron. And good morning, friends. I came across this story this week about Chuck Colson. Remember Chuck Colson? He was a self-made man. As a student, he turned down a scholarship at Harvard in an arrogant manner. Later, he joined the Marines, set up his own law firm, and yes, as we know, entered politics. By the age of 40, he had become one of President Nixon's closest confidants. Later, he described himself as, quote, a young, ambitious political kingmaker, like Nixon, of the lower middle class origins, men who'd known hard work all their lives, prideful men seeking the most elusive goal of all, acceptance and the respect of those who had spurned them in their earlier years. Branded by a Wall Street Journal headline as, quote, a Nixon hatchet man, call it what you will, Chuck Colson handles the president's dirty work, unquote. He became a Christian, partly as a result of reading C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. He pleaded guilty to his part in the Watergate cover-up and was sentenced to 1 to 3 years imprisonment. When Colson left the court after sentencing, he said this, "What happened in court today was the court's will and the Lord's will. I have committed my life to Jesus Christ, and I can work for him in prison as well as out of it." And he did. After his release, Colson set up Prison Christian Fellowship and has been directly or indirectly responsible for leading thousands of people to Christ over his years here on earth. I once heard Chuck say on the radio, "I was ambitious and I am ambitious today, but I hope it is not for Chuck Colson, though I struggle quite a lot as a matter of fact, but that I am ambitious for Jesus Christ." Jesus meant everything to the Apostle Paul. I hope you've been picking up on that as we've been walking through Philippians. Jesus meant everything to the Apostle Paul, formerly named Saul, met Jesus literally face to face on the Damascus Road, and Jesus turned his life around from the inside out. And so this week, as we continue our study, still in chapter 3, in the passage we looked at last week, the first 11 verses, Paul boldly declares his past identity and accomplishments are what? Garbage, rubbish, in comparison to knowing, loving, and serving Jesus Christ. Paul now goes on today, as we'll hear in just a minute, as far to say that he forgets what is behind and strains forward for what is ahead. This is a very bold statement by the Apostle Paul. Since he was found by Jesus, he had persecuted the church. So he wasn't only letting go of the good things to chase after the best things, he was letting go, forgetting even his past sins and hang-ups and hiccups to press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of him. Has Jesus taken a hold of you today, friends? Has Jesus got a hold of you? Do you want to press forward even in these uncertain times? To say that the year 2020 has been unique would be the understatement of the decade, or maybe even longer, yes? It seems as though every facet of our lives has been disrupted, yet Jesus' mission we engage in and through Good Shepherd remains vital to the health and well-being of our community, our nation, our world, and one another. Many life groups and mission opportunities and weekly worship and discipleship opportunities continue as best we can. Many have adapted to, yes, this online format. I don't think Rush Park has ever been so filled with people. We've adapted. Our ministry charge that Jesus has called us to has not stopped. In fact, it may have been even enhanced, reaching people at different times and different places across the nation and the world like never before. And yet, it's hard to think about pressing on. So friends, we need to continue our support and prayers by the power of the Holy Spirit and continue to press on towards Jesus' goal for this part of His flock called Good Shepherd. Friends, today, Paul encourages us to press on. Let's listen. Let's see. Let's hear his words to us from Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this. That's how Paul begins. What's he referring to? Not that I have already obtained all this. He gave us a little preview last week in verse 10, where he said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Say that with me. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, Paul said. But I what? I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Last week in verse 9, Paul said, Christ found me. He was found in Christ, and that's a gift of grace. It's a gift of God's love to find us just where we're at. Struggling, doubting, rebelling, going the wrong way, and yet Christ finds us because He loves us. He redeems us because of the cross and the power of His resurrection. And Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this. I want to know more. I want to know more. I don't see Paul in that recliner, right? There is nothing like that lazy boy recliner, right? Some days, you know what I'm talking about, right? Or the couch. You pull it out, you kick the feet up. And yet, this is not the image that Paul is giving followers of Jesus, that we need to press on. Press on! Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on, second time he mentioned that, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And this is a rich, deep prize and reward of knowing Christ and knowing of His love. This imagery of Paul giving us an image of running a race where in the Greek world you would get a cash prize. You would get a beautiful wreath of flowers maybe. I mean, this is a real prize. And not that Paul would want to get into the debate today, but he's not talking about participation trophies, right? He's not talking about that. He's talking about the real true prize of knowing Jesus, knowing of His saving love, and pressing on every day that God gives us breath. All of us then, Paul says, who are mature should take such a view of things. This should be our focus. This should be what we're aiming for amidst the distractions of this world. Midst the times, as we saw this morning, that visual being out of balance, right? We can so easily feel out of balance, but Paul challenges us because Jesus challenged him to take such view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Friends, in Jesus, we have enough. In Jesus, we have all that we need. And this is what Paul is proclaiming. This is what he's exclaiming to you and to me and the church. Last week, it was a passionate what? Watch out. Watch out for the false gospel. As we sung again this morning, in Christ alone. And this morning, we hear a very determined and resolute what? Press on. Press on. Even though we can say in 2020, it's been hard at times to what? Press on. I think what we need to focus on this morning is this. Paul urges us what? As the church, as the community of believers, to pursue Christian maturity with humility, with passion, and with gospel-centeredness. That focus doesn't change year zero or year 2020. On April 19th, 2014, more than 36,000 runners hit the pavement for the 118th Boston Marathon. Following the tragic events of the bombings at the previous year's race, in which three people were killed and many were wounded, this particular race was filled with lots of emotion. And in storybook form, the winner added even more drama. For the first time since 1983, an American won the race. At age 38, he became the oldest person to win the Boston Marathon in 83 years. With the names of the victims killed in the previous year's violent attack written on the corner of his bib, Meb Keflesky crossed the finish line in first place. As he crossed the line, people in the crowd were going crazy. They were chanting, USA, USA, USA. And he lifted his hands upward with joy and triumph. Can you picture that? Maybe you've seen that clip on YouTube. I'd encourage you to go back and look at it. A very touching and impactful clip. Having described his passionate, all-consuming desire to know Christ, as I mentioned in verse 10, the apostle now tells the Philippians that he's not stagnating. He's pressing on. No matter what the race will bring following Jesus, he's telling them, press on. But let's do it with three things: humility, passion, and keeping the gospel at the center of our thought and thinking. And friends, we need to, number one, humbly acknowledge that you have not arrived. You don't know it all about Jesus. Paul thought he knew it all about being a follower of God, right? You remember those seven things from last week's text? You can go find them in verses 4-6. Paul thought he had arrived. If anybody was going to get the first place, it would be me. And God humbled him. The gospel humbled Paul. He previously thought of himself of having arrived, but the gospel has a very humbling effect. Maybe you've experienced that personally. Jesus is still teaching me. Jesus is still teaching you, humbling us. And so as we press on, let's keep a humble attitude, that we're open to learning and growing and supporting others who are struggling. Because that is the mind and the life of Christ Jesus. Let's not be in despair as we seek to save the lost, as we look at the world around us. Let's keep running the race with Paul. Amen? Let's keep running the race with Paul. And so Paul says what? We need to passionately pursue a greater knowledge of Christ. To know Christ. To know Him deeply and intimately and personally. This pursuit is a lifetime adventure. It's a lifetime race. It's not a lazy boy experience. I know it all. I pray that the Holy Spirit will ignite all of us today, even in these tough and difficult times, to press on, to know Jesus, to seek after Jesus, to help others become followers of Jesus as a grateful response for what Jesus has already done for us. Some of us may need that passion reignited this morning. Some of us may need to, as Paul says, to forget or don't pay any attention to our past. I think one of the primary keys of the enemy is to try to dig up our past and say, remember, remember, remember. Don't let Satan bring up accusations against you if Christ has forgiven you. Do you believe that Jesus has forgiven you? Do you believe that Jesus has paid it all, has washed your sins away? Remind yourself daily of the gospel. That's one way to know Christ better, is to be in His Word, to spend time listening in prayer, to spend time talking to God in prayer. How many of you have had those conversations with God over the last few months, right? How many of you had a real, honest-to-goodness talk with God? God can take it. God invites us, but He wants us to humbly acknowledge that we have not arrived and to passionately pursue Him every day that He gives us. What is this one thing, even during COVID, even during this contentious election season, what is the one thing that God might be laying on your heart to press on about? He's not asking you to do 101 things right now. But what is that one thing that the Lord might be asking you to engage with? To spend a daily quiet time in His Word. To walk your neighborhoods and pray for your neighbors. What is that one thing? Don't underestimate the power of making just one change. And the third thing today, be humble, be passionate, but what? Never lose the wonder of the gospel. That you are a sinner saved by grace. That you've been taken a hold of by Jesus. And He's not letting go. Hear the gospel as a gift of grace. Hear the gospel being sustained by God's grace. For all eternity, we will sing the praises of the God of all grace. Don't let the beauty and the power and the wonder and the majesty of the gospel, don't let it out of your sight. Don't miss being daily in wonder that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. In verse 16, Paul says, only let us hold true to what we have attained, this truth, this beauty, and this power of the gospel, transforming us from the inside out. Paul today provides an instructive and inspiring path for growing in spiritual maturity, being humble, being passionate, and daily discover the life transforming wonder of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And from the Hebrews passage that Aaron read for us today, we need to encourage one another, to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Not because we have to, but in a grateful response for what Jesus has already done for us. Are you a grateful person this morning? Are you grateful that Jesus loved you right where you are at in life, when He found you, when He grabbed a hold of you, when He loved you enough not to keep you there, but to transform you from the inside out into a beautiful child of God. And so humbly and passionately and with Christ-centeredness, friends, let's run the race. Let's run the race that the Lord has set out for us to run. Let's run the race. Keep following Jesus, even in this contentious election week. Friend, from my heart to your ears, God loves you. And his biggest desire is that you remain faithful to Jesus Christ without fear or despair. As one of your pastors, my role is not to sit up here and to allocate for a political system. I believe our calling as a people of God is higher, that we want to be guided by the Holy Spirit in the way of God, to walk faithfully, wanting to know and to follow him. I've heard statements, you've heard statements that infer that the kingdom of God and America are one and the same. I say we have to reject this notion, and this gives us great freedom, friends. The kingdom of God does not depend on our vote. The kingdom of earth is when God rules through law and the state, and the heavenly kingdom is the reign and rule of God in Christ, governed by forgiveness and salvation, the good news of the gospel. We'll pray in just a minute for our daily bread. We're praying for God's rule in the kingdom of earth. And yes, good government and faithful leaders. And when we pray for thy kingdom come, we're praying for an even greater rule, that Jesus would establish more and more each day his reign of mercy and bring to completion his plan of salvation among us. Friends, we may have heard language too that mingles spirituality and patriotism. The soul of America depends on this election. Friends, if our soul depended on this election, God help us. We recognize the importance of this election. Absolutely. Absolutely. We take seriously our civic vocation and the importance of voting. And we certainly care about our country. But our soul has a higher aim than America. Talk to Christians in China, in Syria, in Saudi Arabia, Christians in any land or nation that might be called the persecuted church. They believe that no nation is fully our home. Where is our true citizenship? Thus the title of this sermon series. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, Paul says in Philippians 3:20. That's next week. So we should not despair when a nation is in turmoil, because our souls are fixated on a better country, our heavenly one, where Christ is all in all. And so, friends, pray. Do your homework. Consider your biblical convictions. Consider the candidates and their platform. Ask, what does the most good for my neighbor? Humbly examine your conscience. Pray, vote, and then let's trust in God's sovereign rule. And let's not forget, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of the election this week, that Paul urges us above everything to set our mind into knowing Christ and Christ alone. Jesus is Lord. Jesus loves you. And Jesus will be Lord on November 4th and January 21st, 2021. Jesus is Lord. And so in the midst of all of this, and a lot of it might have been seeming, as Josh gave us this morning, unbalanced. Our lives are unbalanced. But Paul is shouting, he's being passionate. Keep the gospel, and press on. Press on with the help and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Press on being followers of Jesus. I love how Nikki Gumbel puts it. Nikki Gumbel, the creator and founder of what? Alpha? Anybody ever heard of Alpha? It is not wrong to have ambitions for marriage, family life, career, work, and ministry. Indeed, it is entirely appropriate that we should. But all such ambitions must be subordinated to our ambition to what? Know Jesus Christ. He is our first priority in life, and nothing in our life should conflict with that ambition. Nothing. And so Paul lays before us this morning, friends, to know Christ, to press on seeking to know Him amidst the storms and the challenges of the life that we live. As Paul has been teaching us, our salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. And we are to press on, gaining a better understanding of the beauty and the power of Jesus' love for us. And so in this month of November, as Janae mentioned, if it would be helpful to engage in some prayer, there's a resource that came out yesterday in our Keeping Connected email, and we can easily get that to you in any shape or form. If that would be helpful as we journey through this week, as we prepare for Thanksgiving and then for Advent and the Christmas season, let's join together as the people of God and pray as God guides and directs you, that He might remind us that our allegiance is to Jesus Christ and to Him alone. Our Lord demands our all above family and country. We are disciples of Jesus before we are American. Paul was honest with that last week. He listed four rights of birth and nationality and position. And Paul said, all of that is rubbish. All of that is garbage compared to being a child of God, of being found in Christ.